Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good Wednesday. Maybe you're at church right now. Praise the Lord for that. Having a good sermon or a Bible study. Hopefully you have a man of God up there that will who will preach or teach the truth instead of trying to be your friend, trying to win a popularity contest, which is about majority of the preachers behind the pulpit and pastors are doing right now. This ministry is laid on my heart, and if you guys are just tuning into this, we're doing a discipleship series, preaching, teaching series. And one thing I truly believe in my heart and that the Holy Spirit has pressed on me is the discipleship, the desire and the passion for the discipleship. And especially within America, we've dropped the ball. And when I'm speaking of discipleship, I'm speaking of true discipleship. And I encourage you guys to follow part one, part two, part three, and part four. Those are very important. Breaking down salvation is very important. I use plenty of scriptures. You can go back, you can look at the scripture, you can let the scriptures speak for themselves. We have to know that for years now, a watered-down version of salvation has been proclaimed for probably even before I was born. And this ministry on my heart that the Holy Spirit laid on it, my heart to proclaim is one crying out in the wilderness. In this wilderness is the church. It's the American church. And how lukewarm and comfortable it is. They don't want no change. They just want to blend in. We got to change. I know this message will not be received. But as the days of Noah, I will proclaim that gospel, the true gospel. I don't care what denomination you are. I study the Bible. I let the Holy Spirit guide me through the Word of God. And long as you're operating off the principles of the Bible, you're going to like me. If not, then this is going to highly make you uncomfortable and you probably will tune me out. I'm not here to be popular. I promise you. Anybody that knows me and that heard me preach, especially on this for the last year and with in person, I'm not here to be your friend. It's not a popularity contest. I am a man of God, and I have a message to proclaim to you, like it or not, heaven or hell, make a choice, right? So I encourage you guys to check out those parts on salvation. If you have any questions, of course, you can contact me through this website. You can contact me through, I have a phone number here. You can text me. Just let me know who you are. And I'm also on MeWe. And, I was on Parler, but they took Parler down. So, those are ways to get a hold of me. Best ways through my ministry, because that goes straight to my email. If you have any questions, I'm here. I don't know it all, I promise you. But I know the Holy Spirit can guide us and direct us to the truth. And when we lean on the Holy Spirit, then our eyes are open a little bit more to the truth of the gospel. So this part is dealing with spiritual warfare, and of course the part 1, 2, 3, 4 is dealing with what salvation is and you know, speaking of repentance and sin and hell and all those topics, repentance and hell, that are not preached in majority of the pulpits today because it doesn't make you feel good when you really look at your depravity, your position to a holy and righteous God. So I encourage you guys to check those out. So I'm not going to go too much into salvation. At this point in time, we're looking at spiritual warfare. Another key subject that is left off at the pulpits is spiritual warfare. And we need to understand what spiritual warfare is. And tonight, I'm going to try to go a little bit into this. Of course, this is just the beginning of spiritual warfare. You see, when we become a child of God, or children of God, when we have totally committed our heart, our mind, our soul, our whole being to Jesus, our life is no longer our life. Get over it. You know, you enter into the army of God, as being a disciple is automatic, so is being a soldier for Jesus is automatic. It's not optional. So don't think it can be optional. If you don't want to be a disciple, a true disciple, and what that looks like, if you don't want to be a true soldier for Jesus, then you have an option. You don't have to profess Christianity. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not, because in the end, it will hurt you, because God sees your heart. He knows what's going on in your mind. In the end, He will say, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity." And yes, there will be levels of hell. And I believe some of the deepest parts of hell will be for those people that pretend to be something they're not. So it's a commitment, right? We got to count the cost, follow Jesus to the end. Mark 13:13 says this, "And you shall be hated of all men for my sake." All men. All men. That's humanity. "But he that shall endure unto the end, same shall be saved." Amen. So, we have to endure as a soldier to the very end. The key principle passage tonight will be in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It goes like this, guys. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Guys, bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to proclaim your gospel, to teach and preach your gospel to a world that does not want to hear the gospel, and how it has infected the church to be lukewarm, to look more like the world and less like you, Lord. I pray you wake up our churches, you rattle our churches, you shake them to the ground. If they don't listen, level them. Let your spirit reign. Let your truth reign and their truth be a liar. If they are false in their walk with you, correct them. If they are truly not yours, deal with them. Those in the pulpit preaching where their hearts are so far from you, they have departed from their faith, they have not seeked you truly, level them. The Bible teachers, level them. Bring in real man of God that will proclaim the gospel regardless of the cost, that will stand when this world says compromise, conform. Let us stand boldly and proclaim the gospel. Lord, we pray that you be with me as I give this message. I humble my spirit before you and pray the Holy Spirit just fills me. And the words that I speak are the words that you have me to speak to whoever's out there that needs to hear it. I don't know who, but somebody needs to hear it. Let me decrease and you increase, God. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the God of this world, really simply put, the God of this world is Satan. And of course, he uses his demons very effectively to destroy anything good in this world that points to God. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness." Wickedness in high places. This kind of gives us a layout that shows Satan is very organized. Do not think he is not organized. It goes from the very top, that is the principalities. If it helps you visualize it, you think of chain of command, think of the president being the top, kind of, and then it works its way down to us. And these forces, their sole goal is to destroy everything. Everything that is good, that points to God. Our Bible, right? And prayer. We are supposed to be a nation that's under God. But when we look around, do we see that? Are we firmly as a nation standing on the Holy Scriptures? More specifically, even is the American church truly standing on the biblical principles that are in the Bible? You approach a pastor or a teacher and ask them, do they tell their kid about Santa Claus? And they say, oh yes, we tell our kids about Santa Claus. And then they try to justify that lie when it's clearly in the Word of God that all liars shall have their they will have their place in that fire, right? It amazes me how much compromise and how Satan has blinded them. And they wonder why their life is slacking. They wonder why their ministry is not thriving. Right? And of course, you have those out there. Their ministries are thriving. Because of the lie and the deception. They're so good. They speak a motivational sermon. And the mass follows them. They are agents of Satan. But who is Satan? Where do we get this term from? Satan? Devil? Now Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 says this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which thou wake the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend up unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up on the mount of the congregation in the sea, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the size of the pit. Ezekiel 28:14 through 17 says this, thou art the anointed cherubim that covered and have set thee so with thy upon the holy mountain of God, that has walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, that is perfect in the ways from the day that has created till iniquity was found in thee. But by the multitude of the merchandise that filled in the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profound on the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart lifted up because of the beauty that has corrupt thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Revelations 12:7-9 says this. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and fell not. Neither were their place found no more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. You can look at these passages. See, Lucifer was a cherubim. This was a class of angel that was, they were holy and they were wise and they were beautiful and they were perfect. And you have Lucifer here. He was the chief, the leader of these cherubims. You get that from guarding and covering cherubim. He was a light bearer. Literally, Lucifer means light bearer. He was a very bright and very beautiful angel. And these angels were also part of the praise and worship to their God and our God, of course. And we can pretty much conclude that Lucifer was a leading them in this praise and worship. If it helps you think of it, think of a worship director. You know, somebody that leads others in worship. It was a high position. But you see, that was not enough for him. He wanted to be the man. He wanted to be God. He wanted to receive all the praise and worship. Sounds familiar? This world wants to be God, right? This world tells us that we can be gods. And we do not need to read the Bible or believe in God who created heaven and earth, that sent his son Jesus Christ down here to die for our sins. The world is wrong. I will proclaim that to the end. So Lucifer was able to deceive a lot of angels, guys. About a third. We get that from Revelations 12:4. But nevertheless, it was quite a few angels, right? They followed Lucifer in this rebellion in heaven. Of course, they failed because they are no powerful than our God. There ain't no angel powerful than our God. There's no man on this earth more powerful than our God. He is supreme and above all. And of course, Lucifer cast out of heaven to earth. And of course, his angels were too. And we can pretty much, when we look at these angels and we look at the word demons, we can deduct or induct these angels became demons. There ain't really no specific scripture that says angels became demons. But you can look, they were of the falling ones. So we could say they were demons. Of course, there's a lot of crazy ideas about the fallen ones and the Nephilims, but I'm not going to get into that. Honestly, it really doesn't matter too much. There's demons, and they are highly operating within our world. And their master is Satan, the god of this world. Lucifer was damned. He became Satan, devils. The angels became demons, right? So here is that is the origin of Satan. You know, when I look at this world and how they glorify evil, we're just living in the last days, guys. They would call good evil and evil good. And when those things take place, we know Jesus is coming back soon. When the stuff that as a kid and growing up as a teenager I would never thought of seeing, and not picking on one sin over the other, but the new cool sin that is flaunted before our eyes is homosexuality. It's a sin like any other sin. It's flaunted before our eyes, and we should not preach on the sin of homosexuality. This is attack on marriage, guys. God loves when we marry. Of course, a male and female in love. And of course, God is the centerpiece of that. When it's done, what they say, holy matrimony. In the eyes of God, it's a beautiful thing. It's when it's not, then it's not pretty. And when men marrying men and women marrying women, it's sad to see that, and how they're forcing people to accept that, especially us men of God. And I pray I'm not the only one that will preach against it in the end, but as the end comes, many will fold. And it's not my words, it's the word of God. You can flip over to Matthew 7. Of course, everybody likes Matthew 7:1, but you can go read the whole book, right? Read the chapter, read the whole book, but the chapter within it explains exactly what Matthew 7:1 is indicating. And there's some hard truths, but they skip those truths because they want to, a lot of times you see, they want to live in their sin and not away from their sin. So, there's another term here I want to mention. It's called fall of man, the fall of man. You guys may have heard this before, the fall of man. And you can see this in Genesis 2, 1 through 25, and Genesis 3, 1 through 24. And you know what? I'm probably just going to read it. It's the good thing about doing these on my page. I don't have to set myself a time limit. I can talk until the Holy Spirit's done. Genesis 2, 1 through 25. Thus the heaven and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. He rests on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he had rest from all the work which God created and made. And these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. They were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven, and every plant of the field before it was the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had no cause it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. There went up in the mist from the earth, watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in the nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. In the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to the water, the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And the name of the first was Pisgah, which compassed the whole land of Evi, and where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. And there is builder and the Oxford stones. And the name of the second river was Gihon, the same as that that compassed the whole land of Ethiopian. And the third river is, I'm probably going to slaughter this name, Hiddekah, that is going toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God spoke to the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, that every tree of garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. In that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmate for him. And out of the ground, Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam, and see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is the now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall be a man leave his father and his mother, shall cling unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were married. Amen, right? God married them. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God do know, in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the women saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, meaning he was right there with her, guys. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called up to Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Sin does that every time. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Thou hast eaten of the tree thereof, and command thee that thou shalt not eat." And the man said, "The woman whom thou givest to me, she give me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is I have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because I have done this, art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and the dust shall I eat all the days of their life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Whew. That'll get women pretty wound up, huh? And unto Adam he said, "Because I has hearkened unto the voice of my wife that has eaten of the tree which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Curses the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also, thistles shall bring forth thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust art, and to dust until thy return." And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And upon Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was taken. So he drove out the man. He placed it at the place at the east of the garden of Eden, cherubims, a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Let me get a little sip of a drink here. I don't know if you guys ever broke down these passages. You could spend a few months, I know I have, or longer, looking at these and breaking them down. And of course, Genesis 1 is the historical accurate count of the creation of the world. Sad that most of the American education system corrupts that, trying to indoctrinate our kids and believing that God created this world in 6 days. They, of course, is demonic. See, God created this world in 6 days, and it was good. And I promise you, when he said it was good, it was beyond anything we could imagine. And we know he created the animals and the trees. He created Adam, the first man, dirt man. Literally, Adam means dirt man. And then later, he created a helpmate, woman, later becomes Eve, his wife. And a man and a woman unite together. That has not changed regardless of what the world tells you today. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That is the devil trying to corrupt the holy matrimony of marriage. And we know God created this earth, right? It was beautiful. It was perfect. Now, when we look at the earth at this time, there was no plagues. You didn't have no sickness, no allergies, no virus. And the weather was just right. You didn't have this extreme heat and extreme cold. It wasn't plagued by hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, right? All these natural disasters. And of course, you didn't have all your bugs like mosquitoes and gnats. It was perfect. The temperature was just right. Can you just imagine walking outside and it's just, the temperature's just right. You can just lay outside. You can lay in the grass and not worry about bugs biting you. You can lay in the grass and not worry about a spider crawling up on you, biting you, or whatever, ticks and... It was just perfect. And we know he created the animals, and these animals, they did not eat meat. They were plant eaters. Meaning that lions, they ate leaves, fruits, however you want to look at it. You know, of course, when we look at today, a lion is a meat eater. You watch Animal Planet, some of the documentaries on the animals hunting, you clearly will see that they are meat eaters. And of course, that's part of the curse, part of the fall of man. And of course, we know he created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, they didn't have no pain. They didn't have no suffering. Their every need was met. It was a paradise. Within this paradise, so God have given Adam, or gave Adam, a commandment. Do not eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will surely die. Of course, we know Satan was there. He was watching. He was cast down. So he was there. And God was very aware that he was there. And he was watching all of this. And just waiting for his time to strike. He found the right time. He entered the serpent. He approached Eve, of course. He challenges her. And whatever communication might have got lost in it. Or maybe she just didn't heed the commandment. Maybe we're not really clear if Adam communicated that to her God. What is clear that she knew better. But man, temptation, right? Satan can wrap that in a nice little bowl and make it look so beautiful. Eve fell for it. So did Adam. And we're falling for it today, too. Don't think we're above Adam and Eve. Sin can be very appealing. Because it appeals to our flesh. To our fallen nature. And of course, when they took of that fruit, they realized they were naked. They were shamed. Sin came in, right, into this world, that curse. That's why we hurt. That's why we have pain. That's why we have sorrow. That is why we have tears. Some people are like, oh, I'm not responsible for that. That was happened alone. No, we are all born into sin. We have a sin nature. So we have that sin nature. And we also have all the pain and the sorrows of this life. And for some, it's many. But we want to know that in Genesis 3:15, God tells us, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise thy heel. That was a promise, one of the prophetic first promise of a Messiah that will come and that will have to die. And Satan will look like he had it. And of course, if you follow the crucifixion, Satan really thought he was accomplishing something, but he was accomplishing nothing. When a snake bites you on your heel, normally it don't cause too much. He will be snapping at his heel, thinking he's accomplishing something. He didn't accomplish nothing. Of course, we know Satan is our enemy. But Jesus Christ is our Savior, right? He is stronger than anything the enemy can hit us with. And of course, we looked at part one, part two, part three, looked at the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, when it comes in us to reside in us, we have that power, we have that love, and we have that sound mind. And it's not because of anything we have done, it's because of what Jesus has done for us. How we get all high and mighty thinking we have accomplished something. And no, I love that saying in John where John the Baptist says, I must decrease, he must increase. How our pulpits would look, especially the mega pastors, really think they're accomplishing something in their nice luxury cars and home mansions. Those will fall in the end. It's all Jesus. It's nothing we can do. It's what he has already done for us. And he wants to hear from that person. He wants to hear the words from our mouth to make that confession and make that belief. He wants to hear that because the work's already done. He just needs that confession. He wants to hear that confession. And truly, the heart, he wants your heart fully, all of it, surrendered to the end. Those that endure to the end will be saved. And we know Jesus bruised his head. And now Satan knows his time is very limited. As we look at this historical accurate story, we see in Genesis 3, and you see 16 through 19, God had to pronounce that curse because not what he'd done, what we have done. And we're still living under that curse. And we can also see in verse 22, we see that man knew at that point good and evil and death. That was, of course, that physical death. See, there was two deaths that occurred. One was a spiritual death, which led to a physical death. And what God done here, I don't know many people catch this. Verse 21, he said unto Adam, also his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. Meaning an animal had to die. A sacrifice had to be made. Blood had to be shed for their atonement for that sin. Although the consequence of the sin lives on, but that spiritual separation, that spiritual death, we will see Adam and Eve in heaven. I know that can be controversial, but there's nowhere in Scripture that otherwise says that we wouldn't. Even if you go into Genesis 4, you will see that Adam and Eve were imparting this promise to their children. So there was a change. They realized they sinned. They realized the consequence of their sin. And they realized they would have to have a physical death. As we all will have a physical death unless the rapture occurs. my prayer is that you're not spiritually dead. You see, this is the beginning of spiritual warfare on humanity, was what took place in that garden. Do not fool our enemies, Satan and his demons. They are cunning. They are deceptive. They want to cause you harm. John 10:10 says this: the thief come not but for to kill, but to steal and to kill and destroy. But here I am, that is Jesus, right? Come that they may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. Two parts of that. You got darkness over here, the thief, that's Satan. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's darkness. You got Jesus, the light. He said, I want you to have life and to have it more abundant. That is the light that is in us as children of God. In 1 Peter 5:8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. John 8:44 says this: you are of your father, the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abound not in the truth, because there is no truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of them. Jesus takes lying very seriously, guys. This is Satan's world, right? It's God's creation. In Matthew 4, let me flip to 4, 8 through 10. If you guys follow me, I love using scripture, because to me, scripture is the final authority. I can misspeak, but scripture will not misspeak for itself if you look at it, how it's truly used within the Bible by looking. And today we have so many resources we can use from that breaks down the Hebrews and Greek. You don't even have the Greek in the New Testament. You don't even have to know Greek. They have side by side translations for you. If you guys are curious on which ones I would suggest, just email me. There, or you can do a study on your own. Which ones you and pray on it and let God move you on which ones that the Holy Spirit wants you to read. But Matthew 4, 8 through 10 says this: again, the devil take him up on a exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to all these things, I will give thee. He said, I will give you these kingdoms on this world, right? If thou wilt fall down and worship me. This is Satan's world, is clearly in scripture. This is the kingdom of darkness. But as a child of God, that we have came to Christ, and our life is different. We are regenerated. We are no longer clinging to the old, but we're marching into the new. We have counted the cost. We have surrendered our life truly. Our life is different. We don't want to be comfortable. We want to stand and be that light. Oh, we don't want to conform to this world. No, we want to stand on the word of God when this world tells us not to. The kingdom of God we are part of. What does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? John 18:36 says this: Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not of the world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. This world is not our world. John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love it. His own, means Satan, because ye are not of the world, but I have chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Who hates you? Can you say that world's hating you right now? Oh no, that's a little bit too hard. Okay, I guarantee you one person crying out in this perverse Christianity that has prevailed in our nation for a long time, you will find 1,000 other people that are preaching something contrary to the gospel, and that will send you straight to hell. So if you're okay with that, I'm not okay with it. But you won't hear me tell you a lie. If you have that mindset, you're going to hell. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, "Therefore come out from among them. Be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. I will receive you." We should not be blending into this world. We should not be trading slobber with this world. We have to stand against this world. Of course, in love, but love doesn't mean compromise, right? We have to understand the kingdom of Satan is different than the kingdom of God. And of course, I encourage you guys to go and check the other parts before this on salvation. A lot of things not being taught. A lot of false converts. They're being lied to. And the goal in my prayer of this website is to reach whoever wants to hear it. Even if I may one day be put in prison for what I believe, I pray this website continues on, or these messages just reaches somebody, one person, it don't matter. I encourage you guys to the scriptures that are used in this series, this teaching series and preaching series, write the scriptures down, pray over the scriptures, let the word of God move you. Weigh true Christianity by the scripture, not by what a man will tell you behind the pulpit. We are supposed to be children of light. Because we are children of God, we are supposed to be true disciples of Jesus. And this is also true about being a soldier for Jesus. To stand, the cost can be great. If you choose not to, then you're a child of Satan. You're a child of darkness. You're a disciple for Satan, and you're his soldier. So this first part of spiritual warfare is to understand, what side are you on at this point in time in the series? You should be very crystal clear on salvation. It should be very crystal clear on what side you are on. You want this world. You want to have a comfortable life. You don't want to give up your old. You don't want to pick up your cross daily. You don't want to surrender your life daily. You want to live in your sin and away from your sin. No, you don't want to think about hell. You don't want to get out there and witness to other people that is being a disciple. You have an option, right? You can call yourself Christian till you're blue in your face. If you don't look like a Christian as the Bible proclaims you, then you are not saved. And you're going to hell. And of course, we know the second death is the lake of fire. And that's worse than hell. It said death and hell in Revelations will be thrown in the lake of fire, burning for the rest of your life. This is one preacher, I will not lie to you. I know there's many preachers out there that will, but I won't. I love you too much. The next few sermons is going to be on the armor of God. And these sermons will be geared toward those who have truly accepted Christ into their life. I mean, you can listen to them. But the armor of God will not apply to you because you're not His. Only if you are a child of God, you have the armor of God. See, We prepare ourselves for battle every day. We check our armor every day. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a Ephesians course. We'll look at Ephesians 6. And then, of course, we'll look at 10 and 11. And I already hit 12 about the organization of Satan. I kind of want to hit the principle about Satan a little bit. And I don't want to give him too much credit because I could care less about him. I care more about reaching those that he has his hand on. And I know the Holy Spirit can break every chain and can reach those around. But we're going to look at the armor of God. And of course, with the armor of God, if you guys may have not heard a sermon on this, I have preached it several times. I preached once on this website. It's in my archives now. There's just too many, I was collecting too many sermons on here. So I had to make an archive. So you can go into archives and hit. I preached on quite a few on spiritual warfare. I believe it's very important as a child of God, especially. Well, especially now, right? We should know how to armor ourselves. I believe we are about to witness some heavy persecution in America. And we need to armor up. Of course, those are our agents of Satan and preaching his gospel or his lies. They ain't going to be affected. The Joel Osteens of the world, they're just going to keep on marching on. Joel Osteen's probably one of the most popular preachers out there. Of course, you got the John Hagees and the Steve Furtex and the Beth Moores and the Joyce Myers and, man, the list just goes on. There's so many of them. And they're making millions and millions of dollars. But, as I say, those that are doing that, I pray that God opens their eyes. And I don't want to see nobody perish and go to hell. But if they don't change their ways, they don't correct and repent in their contents, like Joel Osteen, a public confession is needed of a turn away from. And of course, you got the Benny Hinn's and, man, the Steve Furtick is one that's really out there. Void that guy, Stephen Furtick, and anybody that associates himself with Stephen Furtick, he's a heretic. It's crazy how people want to argue about that guy. And then I worry about them because then I'm like, are you really a child of God? You can't see this guy, how he's proclaiming something he's not. When he is doing a prosperity gospel, that the more wealth that you can have on this earth, money-wise, material-wise, shows you how close you are to God. No. What about our brothers and sisters in China that are dying at massive, dying, and they don't have nothing? What you gonna say about them? Sad. See, that may come to America, and when it does, them guys will go hide out in their mansion, and they ain't gonna worry about you, because they don't love you truly the way God loves you. They know. The more they tell you, the more money you throw at them. And the more they're going to tell you lies as the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, there was only one man that was preaching righteousness in the whole world. One man preaching righteousness, right? It's crazy. I pray that this message was a blessing to you guys tonight. This is part 6, and then the next 4 or 5 is going to be on spiritual warfare and what we're going to do. Well, this was on spiritual, on the armor, so it's going to be geared toward the position that we have in Jesus, putting on the armor of God. So I won't hit too much on, and I may do another one on spiritual warfare as a breakdown of how I would define that according to scripture on what spiritual warfare is. And I kind of hit that. It's just light and darkness. They counter each other. And good and evil, they counter each other. invisible forces, which have visible effects. But I'll hit on that next week, Lord willing, and break down the armor too. Probably starting with, well, we'll see what happens, but as you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach and teach your word. Lord, I pray that whoever out there is listening to these sermons, this website, I'm not too much worrying about numbers. I figure this ain't popular, so I ain't gonna be popular. But in your eyes, God, you got me. And you know who will, if it's just one person, will listen to this and how they may change their lives and they may reach others because of this message. Lord, I pray that you be with us the rest of the night, Lord, that you guide us throughout the week, the rest of this week, God. Give us strength to stand on your word of God, on the word, as it gets hostile to stand, that you will give us the courage and the strength to endure the hard times that are about to hit America. We know your coming is soon. We know you will come for us. Some may, we don't know. We don't know. Tonight could be our last night. We could close our eyes and next thing you know we're looking at you, God. Or it could be to the rapture. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength until that time. You help us grow to be the disciples that you need us to be. To not to conform to this world. To cast out lukewarmness and conformity to this world. But to truly to stand as that light, different and changed. Where we rub off in this world and the world does not rub off on us. Lord, I pray that you know those are suffering the sickness and the you know those with financial burdens. You know those their marriages are crumbling. You know the hurt, you know the pain. You know the kids they're going hungry tonight. You know the homeless on the streets. You know the widows who've lost their husbands. You know the kids from broken homes. You know those that are searching for a truth, reaching for something that is solid. Lord, let us be the word of God and present Jesus to them, not us, but Jesus, that is solid, a true hope, an anchor of our soul. Lord, thank you for the once again for the opportunity to teach and preach your word tonight. Lord, I pray it reaches whoever that needs to hear it. And all these we pray in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.